Moving into the new year, following the divine spark, purposely entering into that flow, savoring it. Today, I'll be talking about a practice that will help you do just that. A practice that, incidentally, may very well not only add richness and goodness into your life, moor you to a connection that you long for, but also decrease depression and anxiety and help you thrive. All on the Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Hi, welcome. So you've been hearing me talk about how I took the month of December to hibernate, right? And you can probably see that I took a couple of weeks off of making hot off the presses podcasts, radio shows. This year, well, technically last year, I hibernated during the month of December. I had all of my Christmas shopping done by December 2nd when my husband told me in the middle of the month that he was hoping to see a new pair of Crocs for himself under the tree. Internally, I sighed and thought, nope, you won't be getting that. The present ship has already sailed. You'll have to order them yourself in January. When we were invited out to different holiday events, I sent my family without me on several occasions. I tucked in to our living room and to my studio. I knit a bunch. I'm making new hats for my nieces in their favorite colors. I played games with my kids by the fire. I watched movies, read, etc. Somewhere last fall, I think around the month of November, I started to feel this call to go deeper within myself. Maybe it was the season. You've heard me mention how I love the dark of winter because it's such a rich time for inner visioning. With nothing to distract and no place to be, I find my creative urges just stream right out. All this hibernation, really, gave me a blank slate to work from. As I cleared commitments from my schedule and left space for nothing. Slowly, I also began to drop more deeply into myself. Over holiday break, while my husband, children, and I were all home together, I spent hours alone in my studio, sketching images that popped into my mind, daydreaming, letting ideas coalesce and make themselves known, journaling and following the threads. During that time, I followed an idea that had surfaced strongly this fall about a class to teach. As you know, if you've listened to some of my other podcasts, I have been ruminating a lot on what scientist Dr. Lisa Miller mentions as a deficit of understanding our inherent spiritual nature. She has scientifically proven that humans are hardwired to this, and that when we are not using what she would call all of our brain, which includes pieces like intuition, mystic knowing, recognition of synchronicities, we are using half a brain. Furthermore, this deficit is linked with anxiety, depression, and substance abuse in young people, to name a few of the setbacks of ignoring it. What she also discovered is that, and I quote here, when you build a strong spiritual core, that very same person is 75% less likely to have a deep depression in the next 10 years. And that goes up to 90% in people who face the most grueling circumstances. Spirituality is 90% effective against a reoccurrence of major depression. The bottom line is that a strong spiritual core is like the hub of the wheel for a whole healthy person. And that could be with or without religion. That could be from any of our rich faith traditions. That could be spiritual, but not religious. A strong spiritual core stabilizes the wheel of the whole person. That's simply what the science says. Whether we are talking about resilience against mental health, addiction, and depression, or the character strengths and virtues, optimism, grit, forgiveness, relational values. That was from Dr. Lisa Miller. I've also found in my own work, people, we each long for connection. We long for not only connection with other people, but also to and with something deeper. We long for meaning and a richness and a connection that we often can't define. But I feel, like Dr. Lisa Miller has proven, we are hardwired to. It belongs to us. And that is why we are always searching for it when we don't see it, why we sense its lack. When I teach the tools I teach in my Own Your Intuition or Empath classes, ones that give you a practice for tuning into your own wise knowing, I've had many students over the years successfully go off their medications. Of course, I don't ever promise that, but what I can tell you is that the practice of understanding your own intuitive nature, understanding your own capacity to receive information about whatever it is you need to know about your life, and having practices that work that also show you how powerful you are, is a healing balm for most. Well, all, really. Suffering is alleviated. You understand that you are not alone. The universe, higher power, however you prefer to refer to it, is in conversation with you and does, in fact, have your back. That's what I teach. How to be in, how you already are in that conversation, and how, with a few techniques and attention, you can notice it loud and clear. For years in my classes, I've taught women to understand that not only is that connection available to us, but furthermore, that you already have everything you need to feel it and allow it to blossom. You may have just been looking in another direction, or thinking it was going to be more sparkly or sci-fi than it really is often. But in this modern day, unless you go to church, synagogue, or mosque, or you are in a 12-step program, and I'll make that reference clear in a bit, there aren't a lot of avenues that help a person understand how to listen to, make time and space, or deepen this connection. It's been weighing on me a bit, or probably better to say, it's been in my periphery for a bit, how more people need just some basic guidance about aligning with their own inner knowing, an inherent mystical human self. A connection, I will point out, that was woven into the basic tenets of most, maybe all, Indigenous cultures in times past. So I thought I was planning a class to teach. Its images and content were emerging during my hibernation. I had been at it for hours in my studio, the place I think of as my visioning place. Giant pad of paper on hand and so many various pen colors and paper sizes, planning it all out. Down to what items I would need to have on hand, what gifts or supports I would have for my students. The whole class was coming into me hot and heavy, just dropping in from the ethers. I would see it all, write it down or sketch it out, and then sometimes discover the pieces that I had seen in my mind had more significance than I even knew. For example, when I teach this class in person, I felt that every class packet should include a sprig of rosemary. Afterward, I looked up the significance of rosemary in one of my favorite herbal oracles by Adriana Ayales and found that it meant ancient wisdom, exactly what the class was about tapping into. For the last few months, I've been in a slow movement back to be guided totally by source. At first, it was a very internal shift. I heard it calling me. I meditated more. I carved out time in my schedule for sacred pauses, more meditation, more journaling by candlelight, more silence, more making time for connection with self. During this time in December, in my movement of turning things over to source more and more, and my commitment to actively following that flow, I was just adding to a document that I give my Own Your Intuition program students when it took a 40-page detour. I was already nearing adding page 30 before I realized that these words had a life of their own. They weren't just the Own Your Intuition program update on guides. They were their own thing entirely. A few days later, I realized that they had friends. Their friends were the ideas of a constellation of topics I had been having the idea and vision to put together for a new course. A new constellation created from a particular formation of topics that I have been teaching for quite a while, but that I felt collectively as a unit would answer the call, would create a practical outline for getting in touch with our sacred knowing, for helping us use our whole brain and birthright, as scientist Dr. Lisa Miller might say. I went for a walk. I was walking down the road listening to Lorena McKennett's Ancient Muse album, still letting everything stew and reveal itself when a book was born. I realized this wasn't a class. Well, this was a class, but first, it was a book. It dropped in like everything else had. All of the work I had been doing, from the updating of various texts that I already gave my students to the planning of the teaching of it. I pulled over on the side of the road on my feet. I was walking and outlined the introduction as I saw it come together in my head, tapping it out with my thumbs on the notes app of my phone. I turned to walk the forest path home. On my way through, I heard a shrill bird call. I wasn't sure what kind of a bird it was, but I sensed the presence of a big bird near, so I stopped to look up, thinking it might be an eagle. There was no eagle. There was just this medium-sized bird squawking away. That's strange. I thought for sure there was a big bird up there, I thought to myself. I stood there watching the bird talk. Then I noticed a big nest in the tree I was standing under. I wonder what kind of nest that is. I shifted my weight to get a better view. As I did so, I moved slightly to the left and then gasped. Just above me, on that same tree, perched on a branch on the left-hand side that was just far enough back I hadn't seen it until I shifted my weight, was a barred owl staring right at me. A sign of confirmation from my guides and the ancestors, the ancients, watching and approving, apparently. So I've been busy tap, tap, tapping away on my computer in my studio. I have zero details to mention right now regarding that, but I will let you know when there is something to know or something to hold in your hands, as the case will be. For today, as part of what I offer you, I'm telling you about this because I am hoping to inspire your own mystic journey. Maybe, well, certainly if you can, inspire time for hibernating, daydreaming, sketching, letting your mind wander, meditating, walking outside. But I'd also like to offer you a simple practice that I have been using often as a part of my turning in. I was first inspired to try it after I heard an interview with author Elizabeth Gilbert on Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things podcast. I'll put a link to it in my show notes. And I understood from that conversation that this practice is a part of 12-step programs. One of my students told me that it is called two-way prayer. It's a perfect practice and place to start if you find yourself angling toward a craving of a deeper connection with the all. It's so simple that I intend to teach it to my kids. If this scientist, Dr. Lisa Miller, is saying, and she is in her book called The Spiritual Child, that the best thing we can do to foster happiness, resilience, thriving, and success in our children is to teach them that they are in communication with and have the support of the benevolent divine, then, if she says it's that important, I'm going to do that and or increase the ways in which I already do that, in my case, with my kids. I can also tell you 1,000% that upping my looking and taking time to actively foster this connection has moored me profoundly in this rich, soul-deep satisfaction over the last month. I don't mean to imply that hard moments don't arise. They arise from time to time. But what I do mean to imply is that the goodness anchors it all. So, the following is my depiction of what Liz Gilbert described and what I have been doing myself. First, take some time to define divine source for yourself. Obviously, you use whatever name works for you. I frequently use divine benevolent source. God, universe, goddess, great spirit, you choose whatever you would like to call it. Then, what does that source look or feel like to you? What are its qualities? For example, mine is feminine in nature. I don't feel as though I am praying to a male god. Again, you get to choose. In my opinion, source doesn't mind what you call it. Take some time to figure out what qualities yours has. You can tell from the way that I call it, divine benevolent source, I also feel that there is a benevolence about this power. Like it has my highest good and the well-being of all in mind, at heart. So this is one of the defining qualities of who or the essence of what I am addressing. After you have done that for yourself, the practice is simple. My student, Natalie, thank you, Natalie, sent me a link to review it so that I had a good overview for you. So this is a combination of what I do and what is recommended in the two-way prayer practice. First, you get a notebook. It doesn't have to be fancy, just a place that you can do your practice. I've heard several people mention that they use a notebook that is dedicated solely to this practice. Next, carve out time, meaning don't do this when your kids are awake and asking you for things, unless you can shut yourself in a room where you won't be disturbed. For me, silence and space is necessary. Enter my studio. You are not going to do this in a moment when you are in demand. Interestingly enough, it also is recommended that you pick a spot and do it there every day. Essentially, carve out a sacred space for yourself, a special chair that you sit in just for this, etc. What is interesting to me about this was that when I was learning to meditate, this was also a practice recommended by my meditation lineage. Create a space just for your meditation where you return again and again to meditate. Start with a few deep breaths. I light a beeswax candle. You don't have to do this. It's a part of my practice. A candle signifies to me that I am entering into communication with higher power, or signifies an entrance to and aligning with sacred space to me. Sometimes I just watch the yellow orange of the flame dance for a bit. The next piece is spending a few minutes reading sacred text. If you were religious, then you would obviously start with the texts that are sacred in your tradition. But it can be anything that moves you. Liz Gilbert described how she starts by reading a poem from Walt Whitman because his words just help her enter into that altered present space. I sometimes use the poetry of Mary Oliver because her poetry does that for me. It connects me with something that I feel is essential. And I will close our time today by reading you one of her poems. Then, in your journal, you write out a question to the divine. You can address the divine with whatever words suit you, Mother Goddess, Great Spirit, etc. Liz Gilbert uses love. Just a side note here. When I was researching this exact process, I was also struck by the similarities in this step with what my whole entire Getting Answers book is about. In fact, the first time I ever gave a talk on that process, as I was writing my book, a person from the audience came up to me afterward and said, "Are you a friend of Bill?" I was like, "Bill who?" Then he told me that a man named Bill Wilson was one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he was wondering if I also knew the 12 steps. I didn't, but apparently my process reminded him of it. I've always said about the process in my book, I didn't invent it. It's something seers like myself have known intuitively for ages. I just put it on the page so that others could know how easy it was and is to get answers to the questions of your life. Okay, so back to two-way prayer. In this step, you start by defining, naming source. Again, that is literally the first step in my Getting Answers book. Then you ask a question. Second step. If you have something that you are wondering about, if you have some circumstance in your life that is rubbing you, so to speak, not going smoothly, something that has friction, something that you're not quite sure how to solve or what to do about, then you can start there with your question. Divine, benevolent source, how can I solve this tension between ... you insert. Or, great spirit, how do I best navigate? You fill in the blank again. Those are examples. You make your own question. You can also ask something simple like, divine source, what would you have me know today? Or, Mother Goddess, what do you wish to tell me now? After your question, you follow it with an endearment. This is how Source refers to you, whatever comes to you. My dear child, my beloved daughter, sweet one, etc. Then you start writing the response. The man I watched online describing this process, whose name also happened to be Bill, I'll put a link to this video in the show notes. He said this beautiful thing. He said, sometimes people worry, is this really Source responding or is this me? And he said, don't worry about it. Use your imagination. Or, as my students hear me say all the time, the tool of your mind. But he said, even if it is you, it is the best of you that is responding. So, not to worry. It's okay to use your imagination as you begin to use the tool of your mind. You'll likely find as you go along that some things surprise you as you are writing, words or thoughts that you wouldn't really have thought arise. The writing of your response takes a few minutes, you know, like 3 to 10. There's no exact timing. I'm just giving you an estimate. Usually, you know when you are done. Then you take a moment or many to revel in this feeling of connection with Source. I frequently do my meditation practice afterward. I find that this process already has me moving naturally toward a meditative mind. So shutting my eyes and going within is an obvious next step for me. I do it in the same chair that I use to meditate. That's it. It's done. It is recommended, this practice, as a morning practice. Giving yourself the 10 to 15 minutes to do this practice daily is touted by all who do as absolutely positively life-changing and enhancing. Essential, even. After looking into this specific practice of two-way prayer outlined by the 12-step process, I believe it's step number 11, though according to some, it has become less prominent, although some of AA's founding members said that this meditation and turning within was more important than all of the other steps even. But I can totally see why this guy asked me that day if I was a friend of Bill. It makes perfect sense. The process in my book is so similar. I've already mentioned that I never felt like I invented what I wrote in my book. It's something many others have known throughout time, that if you ask questions, you will get a response. In my book, I speak about the myriad of ways that life, capital L, will answer you. This process of two-way prayer is similar, and it also gives you a practice for establishing a connection and two-way communication with great power, divine benevolent source. When I first had a discussion of this process with my student Natalie, it reminded me so much of a book I came across years ago called Conversations with God, Book 1, An Uncommon Dialogue. It's by Neil Donald Walsh. He published a whole book, several actually, with his Conversations with God. It became a publishing phenomenon. The first book was published in 1995. I loved them when I discovered them. And if you are in need of a sacred source to start your practice, look that one up. Get it at your library so you can see if it's right for you before you jump in with both feet. As I contemplated this podcast in outlining this skill for you, I also remembered that it was similar to something put out by Julia Cameron in the book, The Artist's Way, A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity, which, if you don't know, is a book with a devoted following even 30 years after its publication in 1992. I think it's relevant because in it, to my memory at least, I actually haven't seen the book in a while, she talks about turning your creative process over to the divine. To me, it feels more like following than leading, discovering what source would have you create. Which, by the way, is how this podcast and the book I'm writing came to and will come to you. I'm following the lead of divine wisdom, putting my stakes in the ground or chapters in the book only after I understand and have sourced what is wanted there. What Julia Cameron seems to be saying, what Neil Donald Walsh seemed to be saying, what Liz Gilbert was saying, what 12-step programs are saying, what scientist Dr. Lisa Miller is saying, what I have been saying to my students and writing for years is, you are in communication with divine source. That it is possible and furthermore necessary, according to Dr. Lisa Miller, for your own well-being and sanity that you enter into the dialogue. You don't need an interpreter. Your human DNA is actually hardwired and absolutely receptive to this channel. Devoting a little bit of time and attention there on the regular opens up a whole new world for you. So, I hope this has been useful. This upping of sacred practice is certainly how I am feeling my way into this new year. It's a conversation that I expect to continue throughout the year. In fact, it's the way I'm moving into what lies ahead. And it turns out, from what I've seen so far, it's also creating my business plan and the content for you here. As I said, I'm even going to try it with my kids. It seems like the simplest way to start a practice that helps you understand fundamentally in your bones, you are not alone. You've got the support and guidance of the divine each step of the way. For my children, I intend to get them each an unlined notebook because they may want to draw, you might too, and their own beeswax candle, and carve out some time and space for their own communication with the all. If you do it with your kids, let me know how it goes. Heck, if you do it with yourself, tell me how it goes. As always, you can reach me via sending a message through my website, aimeecartier.com or spreadingblessings.com, same website. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and you can get on my mailing list through my website so that you don't miss an Own Your Intuition podcast episode, and you can find out about what classes I have coming up. As I said, I've got some juicy ones unfolding, equipped with rosemary sprigs and all. So, I said I would finish with a Mary Oliver poem because I simply find them divine. Here is the one I opened to today. It's called, "While I am writing a poem to celebrate summer, the meadowlark begins to sing." It's in her book entitled Devotions. 67 years, O Lord, to look at the clouds, the trees in deep, moist summer, daisies and morning glories opening every morning, their small, ecstatic faces. Or maybe I should just say how I wish I had a voice like the meadowlark's. Sweet, clear, and reliably slurring all day long from the fence post or the long grass where it lives in a tiny but adequate grass hut beside the mullein and the everlasting, the faint pink roses that have never been improved but come to bud, then open like little soft sighs. Under the meadowlark's whistle, its breath praise, its thrill song, its anthem, its thanks, its alleluia, alleluia, O Lord. This is Aimee Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. I am wishing you so much goodness as you start or continue your conversation with the divine. If you loved what you heard, I would love it if you took a few seconds to five-star this podcast or share it with those you love. As always, if you feel inspired right now to harness more of your own intuition, I've got a free audio for you entitled, "What is Intuition? How to Tell the Difference Between the Voice of Your Intuition and Your Fear-Based Ideas." You can find the link to download it in the show notes. If you're empathic, I have been guiding empaths for years. I've got some freebies and an Empath Core Tools On Demand program for you as well. I'll put the link in the show notes. See you soon.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.